The word today is woman. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. In the fourth chapter of John, we are told about Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman. There is much that we can learn from this controversial encounter. Here from our archives to lead us in this study is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Woman.
I am a big fan of the Holy Land. As a matter of fact, one of the great joys in my life is going over to Israel almost every year. I've led 20 groups over there. It's one of the joys of my life and see this land that was made famous by Christ who came to this earth and there walked and taught and did his miracles. It's just a magnificent spot. Now, if you know the layout of the Holy Land, you'll know that right down the middle of the Holy Land is a river known as the Jordan River. And on the north end of it, actually back 30 years ago, there used to be two little lakes. Well, that one lake has been totally drained now. There's no lake there. There's only one big lake there now. It's the Sea of Galilee. And that's on the northern end of the Jordan River. There are three major rivers that flow from the north, from the mountains and Mount Hermon and so on, and come down and feed into the Sea of Galilee, which then drains on the southern end of it into the Jordan River. And then it goes 67 miles down the Jordan River to the Dead Sea. You see, these locations, that's why you can get around in Israel so easily. It only takes about a week to see the whole nation of Israel, because you're dealing with the things that you would see, let's say, from the Dead Sea. You have Capernaum and other places like that. Tiberias is the most ancient city up there. That goes all the way back to the Decapolis, to the 10 cities of the Roman Decapolis. Tiberias is one of those. At any rate, you have that area up there in the north, and then by the time you get down to the Dead Sea, that's very close. That's just, you know, an hour and a half. Well, it's a little mountainous, a little hilly, so it takes a little more time. You can't drive real fast. But there's some pretty good roads over there now. And then the width of it, from the Jordan River to the seacoast, is only like 35, 40 miles. So you see, in a week, if you arrange your schedule and you go spot to spot and you have every day kind of logged out what you're going to see, you can see the whole thing almost entirely, at least the major sites, in a week. And it's positively beautiful to do that. Well, anyway, I started to describe the center of the country being the Jordan River. On the north end, you have the Sea of Galilee. On the south end of the Jordan River, you have the Dead Sea, where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea. Now, when you go north, up in the Galilean region, up in that area, and let's say you were living up there at the time of Christ, and you wanted to come down to Jerusalem, which is closer down, you know, 15, 20 miles from Jerusalem, near Jericho, in that same area, that distance would be several days' walk, and you would try to take your shortest path normally to cut down the travel time. However, there's one exception to that, and that was the region of the Samaritans. And so as you would be walking south, the true Jew would want to totally avoid the area of the Samaritans because they were known as the half-breeds. They did not keep their bloodline pure. And as a result, they were kind of the social outcasts. So I'm giving you this background because I want to talk to you today about the incident in the fourth chapter of John. If you have a Bible handy, turn to the fourth chapter of John, and you will see there that Jesus is not going to avoid the territory of the Samaritans. Most people would walk way to the east until they got out into the desert there and then go south and then come back in to the Jordan River again just to avoid the Samaritans. Jesus does not do that. He walks right straight through, just like a bird would fly, and therefore he goes through Samaria. And he's dusty and dirty and tired, and he's thirsty. He needs a drink. So he goes to the well. Now, at this well, he meets a woman. Now, this dialogue is so unusual. First of all, it tells us what time of day it is. And that's important to recognize because normally all the women from that village very early in the morning would come down to the well and draw water for the day so that they had it in their homes. Now, why is this woman, this Samaritan woman it's talking about that Jesus meets there, she's probably the only other person at the well. There might be two or three other people around, you know, but certainly not the women of the village are not there because they've already been there and got their water for the day. Now, why was she coming alone instead of with the other women? Well, we can tell as the story unfolds, she's a worldly woman. I guess we would say today a prostitute. She was the sort of person that the other women would shun and avoid. She wasn't welcome to fellowship with them because she was a woman of ill repute. And we know this by how many times she'd been married. Good grief. Look at the account here. And it tells us, and then on top of that, when they begin discussing, you know, whether she has a husband or not, the Lord answers her and says, well, she said, no, I don't. He said, you're right. You certainly don't because the man you're living with right now isn't your husband. And oh boy, right away she realizes, my goodness, I'm being confronted here by a prophet. He knows everything about me. Who could this possibly be? He knows my life, and I don't know him. I've never seen him before. And Jesus explains to her in detail, he announces to her, you know, you're waiting for the Messiah. You know the promised one that's going to come and redeem Israel? Were you looking at him? This is me. You're looking at him right here. You're standing in front of him right now. I'm the one that has been promised. I'm the one that's talking to you. So you have several strange things right here. First of all, she was a Samaritan, a social outcast. And by the way, the second important part is that she was a Jew. You know, you go back to the authentic Jewish prayers of the pure Jewish line of that day. They said prayers. They had periods of prayers. And one of the prayers that they would say each day that a man would say is, I thank you, God, for this and this and this. And then they would say, and I thank you, God, that I'm not a woman. You see, the woman was simply cast aside. In other words, no self-respecting man would stop and talk to the woman or ask her the time of day, and certainly not ask her to draw water. And so in that process, we see so many unusual things. First of all, that Jesus is here. He is not prejudiced or bigoted or in any way against the Samaritans, and certainly not disturbed by the fact that she is a woman instead of a man. And so he confronts her, you know, and reveals to her, I am the Messiah. I'm the promised one that you're waiting for. I'm here. And he reveals to her miraculously her history. We are told that this woman is so moved by this that she rushes back to the village. She rushes back to town. She says, come with me. Come, you've got to see this guy. You've got to hear this guy. He knows everything about you. Is he possibly the one that we've been waiting for? Is he the Messiah, the promised one, the Messiah, the one who is to come? You know, I get excited when I see her response here. It so often happened when God blessed somebody and healed them or cast a demon out of them. It so often happened when Christ bless someone in a very special way like that, that they wanted to follow Christ. Now, even as I'm saying this, I realize there were other times when the lepers, for instance, didn't even bother to come back to say thank you. You know, there are those kinds of people, too, that just go merrily on their way. They're not even grateful or thankful. But every once in a while, when someone would be healed or helped, and they would want to follow Christ, they would want to say, oh, I want to be with you. I want to see other miracles. I want to be blessed by your presence. And so we see here this woman so excited, she has to share her news, and she becomes a witness. I would hope that we would learn from this. You know, we who are the children of God, we who see God's hand in our life, we know when he's blessing us. We know when he's healing us. We know when he loves us. We can see it in our lives. As we read his word, we get to know him more and more and more, and our relationship grows. And this meeting Jesus is what it's all about. A person cannot be saved until they've met Jesus. There is no other name given among men in the whole human race by which anyone can be saved except Jesus Christ. There's no other way to come to God the Father except through his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no salvation except through Jesus Christ. There are not numerous saviors from which you can pick whichever one happens to please you. There is only one Savior. There is only one person who has conquered death. There is only one person who's risen from the dead, except those that Christ miraculously raised, like Lazarus and so on. There is only one who can lead us to salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. This woman met Jesus, and as a result, she discovered and found the Messiah, her Savior. It is our job here on earth, as children of God, to introduce people to Jesus, to let them meet Jesus, to let Jesus reveal, by the power of his Holy Spirit, God will reveal to them, this is the Messiah, this is the promised one. Jesus is your Savior. He does take your sins away. He can give you eternal life and wishes to do that. So folks, introduce your friends, your relatives, your children, your neighbors, anyone. Introduce them to Jesus that they can meet him.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.